It's a joy and a pleasure to be here. That sermon that we heard for the second time this week. Now, some of you wasn't here yesterday morning, and what we was trying to think of, well, that's got to be for them that wasn't here yesterday morning. But I fear it was more for us who were here yesterday morning. Think about this a little bit. Brother Gilbert had no idea Brother Mack was going to preach on that. Brother Mack had no idea that Brother Gilbert did preach on that. But he didn't fool God in the slightest. And that's who told him to preach that. Have you thought about that? You say, well, they messed up. No, they didn't mess up. God's sovereign. He told us what he wanted us to hear. Brother Mack said something about dying is gain. For me to live is Christ, and dying is gain. Dying cannot be gain unless living is Christ. Did you get that? Stuff didn't come in out of order. I've heard it said, well, at least they're better off now. They're not suffering. They don't know what I know if they don't know Christ. Suffering just now began. If you have your Bibles, look into the book of Revelation. I'm going to preach on the topic. In fact, several years ago, I determined I was going in these conferences and Bible camp meetings, I was going to make it a conscious effort to not be controversial in my preaching. I'm going to preach smooth things. That's what I do at home. When I first started hanging around many of you guys, like Brother Conrad, I had no idea you guys were so fouled up in your eschatology. For many years in my ministerial career, I thought that anyone who did not espouse and hold the same views that I held were out and out liberal. That's what I thought. I had what my views are here, but you can talk to me about that later. I'm not a pan-millennialist. However, I do think it will. But I started hanging around some of you guys and met you and hanging around, listened to you preach, and saw what you really believed and practiced. And many other issues equal and maybe even more important Bible issues than eschatology. Needless to say, I had to adjust my way of thinking on some matters. And I did. I even lost some so-called friends over this issue who held to my view but didn't hold to your view, and therefore if you didn't hold to their view, you must be the Antichrist. And I held to their view, but because I'm still friends to you who didn't hold to their view, they thought I must be the Antichrist's first double cousin or something. And not a problem. I gained more true blue friends than I ever lost from the Bible, from the stuff in the Word of God, these issues. Now, what I'm about to preach to you, all of these issues have not been resolved, but the overall theme of what I'm about to preach to you is not controversial among Bible believers. My friend, Brother Jerry Sanford, come over to our Bible conference in January and preached on this subject. And it's like this subject, the resurrection. There is going to be a resurrection. And I'm going to preach on the subject of the second coming of Jesus. He is coming. So if you have your Bibles open and we'll stand, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 22, beginning with verse number 20. And this is what the Bible said. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now here's how we can receive that, accept that, and apply that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Help my words and the meditation of my... Help me, help what I say be... I don't want to say anything that is not acceptable to you. I can understand some folks don't accept it, but I'm not trying to please folk. I am trying to persuade men, but I'm not trying to please them. Help me please you. If I should please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Help me be a servant of Christ. Help my words to be acceptable to you, but help them to be edifying. I don't come here. I don't want to be controversial. I want to be a blessing today. Help me to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Brother Josue read me a verse of Scripture. He said, got a word for you. And he read out of the book of Acts where God had told Paul, go ahead and say what you got to say and don't be scared. Don't worry about it. I'm paraphrasing that now. You know, God got an assignment for you. There's not anybody can do anything about it. Period. They just came. And I thank God gave me this assignment, so I'm going to do it. I know I've already talked a lot, and that's what we've been preached to twice. Watch what you talk about, but I really think I need to go ahead and say this. I'm going to go on record as saying, when I start, and I'm going to try to do this without getting emotional. So, I really think I need to say this. I really do like Bob Jennings. We are as different as apples and oranges. Still fruit, but different. And I really do like Mack Tomlinson. I wrote all this down a couple of 3 days ago. Last week sometime, getting ready for this. I really do. I like Mack Tomlinson. We are as different as a Brazil nut and a walnut. Still nuts, but different. Maybe some of you read the blog that Brother Jennings wrote in about the second coming of Jesus. Wonderful article. I reveled in it. Brother Mack, if you didn't read that, perhaps those of you who get Brother Mack's daily thoughts, he copied it. Now, he didn't plagiarize it. He put on the bottom, it's come from Bob Jennings. He does that for different folk. Sometimes he writes stuff himself. Those are the ones I like the best, by the way, Brother Mack. And he copied that very article word for word. Did it in two daily thoughts. And I read both of those. I'm not here to refute that stuff at all. It's not a refutation of that. Some of our eschatological opinions about this and that's not always the same. Neither am I refuting what Brother Gary preached the other night. Now, there's some issues there that is not the same. I'm not here to refute anything. Brother Conrad's my spiritual father in the ministry, and I love him dearly. And he said, and I believe I can explain our position, and we're not apart on watching and praying and stuff. So I'm not here to refute anything. I'm just here to preach on the second coming of Jesus. There will be a second coming. He is coming again. All Bible believers believe that. Now, here's what I do at home. I don't know exactly how to say this. I'm an expositing, exegeting type preacher who preaches from an outline. I'm not making an apology. I'm just explaining to you what I do. So that's what I'm fixing to do. Right here, beginning with this. I got three little points. And here's the first one. The fact associated, let me do this right, what I got down here. The fact asserted of the testimony of his coming. Now this is found in verse 20. This is what he says. He which testify these things saith. Now this is what I want to tell you about this passage, this part of this passage right here. The fact asserted of the testimony of his coming. He's testifying these things, and he's asserted that he's coming. So first of all, let me talk to you about the person testifying. He which testified. This is not John talking now. This, if you got a red letter edition, that helps you on that, but if you don't, you got to figure that stuff out. This is Jesus talking. Now, let me help you with that. From the Bible, from the book of Revelation, this is what the Bible said. The revelation of who? Yeah, Jesus Christ. Now, the title says Revelation of John, and that's not a bad title, but it's the revelation that's given by John, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. In that same chapter in the book of Revelation, I'm talking about the person now who's doing the testifying about him coming. He's testifying. He who wrote these things in the book, we'll get to that in a minute, but notice again, the person. And when in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Here's an interesting passage, this thing in the Bible. Fear not. That's what Josue told me. Don't fear God. There's some fear of God. Don't ever, said, that's what's wrong with the world now. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's what Brother Mac said earlier. People who don't fear the Lord don't care what they say. And the fear of the Lord will help you. If you really fear the Lord, you'll be careful about what you say. That hit way too close home to me, Brother Don. I'm too quick just to spout off something. And when I do that, I'm not sure that I'm considering what the Lord would think about that. But the fear of the Lord, he said, now fear not. This is what John did. He bowed and fell on his face at his feet. And the one who he saw said, fear not. And I'm going to explain to you who that is from the book. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Now let me help you with that from the book of Romans chapter number 1, verse number 4. This is what the Bible said, that this person was declared what? To be the Son of God. The spirit of power, or the spirit of righteousness rather, and by the resurrection of the dead. What distinguishes the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things is, rose from the dead. Hey, ain't nobody else ever done that. He said there's a lot of people that come that was raised from the dead. I didn't say that was raised from the dead. I said rose from the dead. See, everybody else who was made alive again went back and died again. Did they not? From the Old Testament all the way, except for those in Matthew, from the Old Testament all the way in the New Testament, those that the Lord raised again, Peter's mother-in-law, those people, they died again, obviously, and evidently if they didn't, they'd still be alive. Except for Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. That's what he's doing here, declaring himself as the Son of God. He who's testifying these things is the prophet, but the Son of God, the one who gives the prophet prophecy. The testimony. I'm giving you an assertion. The fact of the testimony of his coming again. Number two, there's the prophecy of the testimony. These things saith. What are these things? Well, specifically and particularly, it's the book of Revelation. But also included that is the book in which the book of Revelation is found. The Bible, the Word of God. I like what Brother Gary read a while ago, just a minute ago. Now, I'm a biblicist. I just don't mind telling you I bow to the Word of God. It's my authority. It's my final authority. We go to what the Bible says, and what the Bible says has to take rule and precedence. Talk about counseling. People don't like to counsel me a whole lot, because almost always I say, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And the Bible's got something to say about stuff. Stuff that's going on in your life. I ain't going to tell you whether to buy a Ford or a Dodge. If you want to know what to do there, ask me. I can fix you on that. Get a Dodge. Somebody's out there shaking their head. No. You know, it really don't make any difference, does it? Whether it's a Ford or a Dodge. But here's the point. God got a word from the book. He'll explain this to you. Now, this is what he said. He which saith these things, so the Bible... And by the way, I think God takes his word so very seriously. Let me explain to you how seriously God takes his word from the book we read in Revelation. Back just a verse or two before verse 20. Here's what it says. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. Explain it. I can't, other than that it's very serious. If you start messing with God's word, believing it or rejecting it or taking it apart and saying, well, I can believe this, I don't have to believe that, that's not for me. What's that ultra-dispensationalist brother Peter was talking about? What part of the Bible? Listen, what part of the Bible, of all Scripture, do you think is not inspired? Now, I'm talking about the fact asserted of the testimony. This is the testimony. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And then here's a third thing in this fact asserted. And I'm calling this the principle of this testimony. It's an interesting thing, this testimony. I like this testimony concept. Here's what John said. It was already read earlier somewhere. I don't remember where, but this is what John said in chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you find that interesting? Let me help you with that. I think I can help you with that. Look in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, verse number 7. Verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? When I get up here and shaking in my boots in fear of you, if I'm afraid of you, that didn't come from God. Now, if I get up here and have some fear about what I'm about to say, this is important stuff. So what I'm telling you, what I'm dealing with you, what I'm giving you, has eternal ramifications. You don't have to listen to me. And I can't make you believe what I'm telling you. I can't. I've been on that Facebook stuff, and sometimes we get too involved in that stuff. But a friend I've met over in Beaumont used to go to Brother Peter's church. He's worrying about his salvation and stuff, and whether or not he can believe that God's real. You know, one friend of ours says that only there's two kinds of people that believe the things of God. Either somebody that's completely crazy, or a Christian. You can't make yourself believe this stuff. Explain to me the virgin birth, can you? No, I didn't say explain that it happened or that you believe that it happened. I said explain to me. You can't explain to me the triune Godhead. How you gonna make yourself believe that stuff? Then it gets in the realm of superstition. You remember what Paul said to that bunch on Mars Hill? I perceive that you're too superstitious. How are we going to believe all of that? All of this stuff, if we can't believe this, the fear of God. Listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, here's one of the things that the sound mind that God gives us will help us to do. We'll embrace Christ. Listen, and this is what it says in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our... Or what does that be not thou therefore mean? That means this. Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, you can embrace Christ, even if it causes affliction in your life. Now, I read this in the Bible. Listen, I read this in the Bible. All who will live godly, what? Shall, in Christ, shall suffer persecution. But only a person who's a lost person will not do that. Only those who have not been given the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. You shall receive power where, when, how? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. These are the things that are the testimony of Christ. And He's testifying these things. Paul's in the Isle of Patmos because of, he's suffering these tribulations because of the testimony of Christ. He's embraced Christ. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Don't be ashamed of Christ and or be His servant, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Isn't that interesting? Or of the testimony. How are you going to do that? Power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Love of the brethren and all of those things. Watch. How does that work? Watch. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Secondly, point number two, the future aspect of the testimony of His coming. This is what Jesus said in Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 20. He said, He which testifies these things saith, and this is what He says, surely I come quickly. A couple of things here. Just a couple that we'll just mess with. First, there's the surety of His coming. Surely I come. Just like my friend Brother Jerry Sanford preached in our conference in January, there's going to be a resurrection. Fear. You can mark it down. You don't have to believe it. Do you reckon those people that are in hell believe there's going to be a resurrection? Well, it's what the Bible said, isn't it? Now, you're talking about when the resurrection is. I'm not. That's not the issue here. There is going to be a resurrection. I read in the Bible, the hour is coming, now is, that that those that are dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man and live. But don't be marveled at that. The hour is coming that all who hear, and all of them, every one of them, every person that's ever lived, unless they change in the twinkling of an eye, every single person that has ever come onto this earth or has ever conceived is going to be resurrected. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to stand before God. That's a fact now. That's just a fact. And as surely as that is, surely Jesus Christ is coming again. Now listen, here's what the Bible says. You men of Galilee? Why stands He here gazing? This same Jesus who you now see going up is coming back. When's He coming back? That's the last trump. And when's that going to be? Whenever His Father says. Then. Now, secondly, is the speed of His coming. I come quickly. Now, listen to me. I think This is in my eschatological camp, I'm almost right by myself. All of the folks that are not amillennial have a different camp, and most of them don't like me real, real good. I believe the resurrection, the first resurrection, is spiritual. No, listen to me. I don't believe it's a spiritual and physical. I believe it's spiritual. I really do. I believe that's what he said in John chapter 5, verse 25. That's what he's talking about. That's a spiritual. It's an individual matter. Now, there can be hundreds upon thousands of people saved all at one time. On a Sunday morning, listen to me, on a Sunday morning when people are being converted under the preaching of the gospel in your church, do you not think maybe somewhere else on a Sunday morning in another church people are being converted? That's their first resurrection. That's being brought back again to life. Now, listen, if you don't get in that one, nothing else matters. I'm telling you. Your eschatological view or opinion or conviction, if you don't get in that first resurrection, it don't matter what your opinion is. Nothing else matters. Because if you don't get in that one, when you face God, the final resurrection, whether that's another time or what, it's called the second death. And the Bible don't say there's going to be 2, 3, 6, or 11 resurrections. This is the first resurrection, and then the next thing you know, we're facing Christ at the great white throne judgment. I read this in the Bible. Who is he that condemneth? This is what I used to think, Brother Conrad. Well, God don't ever send anybody to hell. You send yourself there because of your sin. And that sounds good. But it's not good in sin. I'm talking about the speed of his coming now. Let's listen. Pharaoh. Do y'all remember Pharaoh? Well, maybe you don't, but you remember reading about Pharaoh over in the book of Exodus? Way back over there. Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh after he'd been in the wilderness 40 years, and he told Pharaoh, God told me to tell you to let my people go. If you don't, the firstborn's going to die. And you know what Pharaoh said? Does anybody remember? There is God that I should be mindful of. I ain't scared of God. And then Moses, 9 more times come to Pharaoh and said, listen, let my people go. Let my people go. 9 times let my people go. 9 times Pharaoh refused to let his people go. In fact, some of Pharaoh's own servants, who I believe were his magicians and soothsayers and etc. Now, he had all of the Egyptians were Pharaoh's servants. Right? That's usually the way it works in the kingdom, isn't it, Brother Matt? All Christians. Well, see if it's not right. Help me, Brother Conrad. Help me. All Christians, if you're a Christian, you're Christ's slave. Bond slave. Servant. So, all subjects are the king's subjects, right? But he's talking about his servants, so I believe he's talking about those guys that confronted Moses when he threw the staff down. And they coming through their staff down. You know what they finally said? They finally said, look here, this gotta be the hand of God. And so we can make our sticks look like snakes, but we can't do everything that Moses is doing. And by the way, Moses can't be doing all of this stuff. This has gotta be the hand of God. I'm still talking about the second coming and the speed of his second coming. It's got to be the hand of God. And then later on, they finally said, Moses, why don't you let your people go? Can't you see Egypt is dying? And then finally, Moses didn't go to Pharaoh when the firstborn died. He went to the Israelites. By the way, what an interesting concept. Over there, here's what the Bible said. All of the firstborn in Egypt. Who did that leave at? Well, that didn't include the Israelites because they were so righteous.
Were they? What? Yeah, took the blood. What's the difference in between the Israelites and the Egyptians? I explained it to you. Nothing. They were just as guilty as the Egyptians. And the only thing that protected the Israelites' firstborn was that picture of Christ. Is that not right? Isn't that what he said? When I see the blood. And then, listen, at midnight, on that 14th day of Nisan, and that's not the Japanese, they didn't have crops in those days. That, don't y'all find that interesting? That did not all. That was not always the Israelites' first month of the year. In fact, God told them, look here, we're going to have a new first month of the year. Now, they didn't back up and start over. They just started right there. That's what happens. No, don't look at me like that. That's what happens when you get converted. Under the blood. That's what happens when you get under the blood. When any man who's in Christ. It's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Got a new start, brother. See, the old man dies, and you're not what you used to be. If you can go back there and live, go ahead. I suggest the quicker you do it, the better off you're going to be. Some of us have tried that, and you can't go back there and live. The old man dead. I'm still talking about the speed of his coming. I hadn't got away from what I'm talking about. Brother Conrad mentioned about those guys didn't look for Jesus coming in their lifetime. I think they did up to a point. But obviously Peter quit looking for Jesus to come back physically. When what Brother Bob was preaching on, the time of my departure is now at hand. It's pretty certain that Peter wasn't expecting Jesus to come back in his lifetime at that point. But here's what we're talking about this week. Listen to me. Don't tell me you did not have time to get right with God. Pharaoh could have just, that first day Moses showed up, he could have. I understand the providence and the sovereignty of God, but I'm talking about in his human responsibility. All he had to do is say, okay, I'm going to buy this. Let the children of Israel go, and the firstborn would not have died. I read this in the Bible. I heard somebody already talking about it. Today is a day of salvation. I was at a wedding. I think I said this before, but I'm going to say it one more time. When you get old and feeble like us, you can repeat yourselves and people just excuse us. I was at a wedding one time. And the preacher that preached the message at the wedding was not performing the wedding ceremony. He preached the gospel. It's one of the strangest weddings, one of the most different weddings I've ever been in. He preached the gospel. He did. Preached the word of God. Got up and preached the gospel message just as plain and evangelistic. Somebody might accuse him of being an Arminian. Preached the gospel. And this, when he got done, this is what he said. I can remember his words. This is almost verbatim, and if I'm missing him a little bit, he can correct me. He's here. He said, you have been warned. But listen, when Jesus comes, whether he comes back for us or whether he comes for you individually, that last breath you take, it's sudden. If I was you, I wouldn't put it off. That's how sudden it is. You say, there's a song I learned here some time ago. It says, I got up on Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the same old things I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seemed he spoke of mine. But I had thought I had plenty of time. The second verse says, I went on down life's highway, living as I used to live. Making money is have to beat the other fellow, have to get what life could give. Making money is not sinful. Having fun is not a crime. And I had thought I had plenty of time. And then the third verse says, before I knew what had happened, Lysenes had passed away. Millions stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. And eternity beckons, and the name it calls is mine. But I thought I had plenty of time. Just come and say. Now listen to me. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, you now have an opportunity to get right with Christ. You do. Jesus is coming. Whether He's coming for everybody all at one time, 14 different 11 resurrections, or picks you out one at a time, it's sudden. I think there's a little difference between watching and praying and looking. This is my last point. The favor of this testimony of His coming. Here's what John said. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I really do. I think there's a difference between watching and praying. What Brother Connor, we should never put you under fear that God's going to punish you. Christians especially. As He has already said, I don't think... I just don't. I used to believe that stuff, Brother Conrad. For years and years, I struggled with that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 precept stuff that you know, Sunday school teachings and good works. Hooey. That don't fit the Bible. Going back to the rewards and stuff. Well, what if I didn't teach Sunday school good enough? You know, before I surrendered to preach, I taught Sunday school a time or two. God hadn't given me an insight on any of that stuff, or really a desire. I just did it because I went to church all the time. But there are others who teach Sunday school so much better than me. Are we in some kind of competition? No, that don't make sense, does it? So there's a difference between this watching and praying and looking. Or are you looking for Christ to come? Now this. Listen, I'm gonna finish out with this anticipation. There's two things, two kinds of folks that fit in this category. Those who do not believe Christ is coming again. And I can show them to you from the Bible, from 2 Peter chapter number 3. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Now, you say, well, they're talking about those Jews are looking for His first coming. But it fits with the second coming, too. Where is His coming? Where is the promise of His coming? Some people just don't believe He's coming. Those people who don't believe He's coming, though, are not Bible believers. And those are not the ones He's coming for to be with Him. These people don't even believe in creation. Can you picture that? Here's what I think, and I'll just tell you, this is my opinion, and I realize that. But I think folks who don't believe in creation and folks who believe in evolution are not Christian. There's no Christian evolution. I'm like my friend Brother Gilbert Barr. I got a good insight on the Big Bang. Never did he know what the Big Bang Theory was. He preaching, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Always thought it was that ooze thing, but he said, the Big Bang Theory is this. God said, let there be, and bang, there it was. Well, that's what I believe. That's what I believe the Bible teaches us. And those who do not believe Christ is coming, first, second, or last, don't even believe in creation. They don't believe in the Creator God. Isn't that interesting? But those who do believe His second coming. I don't believe Paul was thinking that Jesus was coming in his lifetime. At least not here. Not by this time. Right from the Bible. Listen. 2 Timothy chapter 4.
For I'm now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. Isn't that interesting? Here's what's so interesting. I fought a good fight. I've finished the faith. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Are you looking for Christ? Listen. Hey. Listen to me. Unless you're looking for Christ, for you to live is not Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Are you really looking for Christ? Do you really want Christ? Pursue, that's what our friend Michael Durham says, the gospel, and Christ is the gospel. So are we pursuing Christ? Do you want Christ? Here's what the Bible said. God has predestined you and I, who are believers, to be conformed to His image. Do you want to be like Christ? There's only one possible way, and that's when the more of Christ in you. Listen, what I read this in the Bible. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Here's another one. Hebrews chapter number 2. No, chapter number 9. I'm sorry. Let me just read a few verses here. Then I'm through. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus is coming. Are you looking? If you're not looking, let me help you. Look for Him now. Has He come in your heart? If He hasn't, look for Him now. Let me give you a recommendation. What I normally close with just about everywhere I go. Let me give you a recommendation. If you're having trouble, let me help you with it. Come to Christ. Sinner, here's the exhortation. Here's the invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a heavy labor under a heavy burden, come to Christ. Saint, salvation. If you can, come to Christ. Are you looking for Him? I trust you are. Let's pray. Father, help me to be looking for You. Not with fear that You're going to catch me doing something wrong, but just with a longing that we can have that sweet, sweet fellowship. Not just in this life, but for eternity. We want it for eternity. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gary.